The next item is number 21, the budget revision. Ms. Kaplan?
Yes, I'm going to hand this over to Bastin for the budget revision and an explanation.
In your update, you have our schedule both numerically as well as a narrative here. Most of our increases in revenue have to do with our attendance. Our ADA is actually better in P1. There is a decrease in revenue of about $54,000 for the ROC or ROP. And also you see a lot of adjustments related to special education where we're taking things back. So you'll see some additions in staffing and other certificated adjustments that we've talked about today have also been put in here.
Okay. Any questions on the budget revisions? Do I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay. Item number 22 is the 2011-12 second interim report. The second interim report is in our board packet. We have two options here. One is we can just ask any questions we may have and vote on it.
I think this is important. The county wants, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but the county really wants the board to do a resolution that I think we sent to you in your Friday packet, which should have actually been on this agenda tonight, but because of our miscommunication, it wasn't put on. We need to put it on next time.
Okay.
But they really want the boards to understand that by adopting this second interim report, that you're looking very closely at what the plans are for the fact that there could be a trigger and what we need to do. And so I think it's really important that we give this report and ask you to please review this resolution that will be on the next agenda to make sure that we've made it clear in terms of what our contingency plans might be and make sure that you agree with them. So I would prefer that we go over that just because of that resolution.
Mr. Spence?
I could care less what LA County thinks we should do, to be quite honest. I mean, you know, if they want to send me a quiz about the budget, I'd be happy to take the quiz. And if I'm proficient, then I shouldn't have. I mean, you know, I've approved 19 budgets or 20 budgets. And so, you know, it's like I'd be happy to talk to them about their budget, too, by the way.
Well, just in terms of some conversations that we have, I think that if there is a trigger, that we are going to have to make some decisions in the middle of the year. And I just want to make sure that we've had that conversation mm-hmm. and that we're really comfortable with that. And so that's what...
Yeah, but I mean, we can have the discussion, I mean, in any format.
Yeah, and I think the board understands, and we've had several meetings where we've discussed what the triggers may do. I don't think the second interim report is where we will discuss what we are going to do when the triggers happen.
I am fine with that. I'm just going to have to put the resolution on, and I just want to make sure that when I put it on, it's no surprise to you. That's
yeah, I have no problem with the resolution. The only concern I have is, again, the Brown Act with us discussing things that we are going to vote on. It's strictly prohibited, and that would be my only concern.
Well, and again, I'm just talking about what is on the agenda tonight.
I don't know if we do it in public.
Yeah. Okay. But it's not noticed.
Oh, I see.
It's not noticed that we will be talking about a resolution.
Okay. We can talk about the content of it, not saying whether or not that there's a resolution. We can certainly make...
you've gotten this ahead of time, if you feel comfortable with what's on here, I don't have a problem that we need to go through it. I just want to make sure that it's clear that that's going to be an issue for us as a district.
Okay.
If that trigger does happen.
Well, there's been some changes, and I haven't looked at the changes.
Is it bad English?
So I'd prefer to hear the presentation to make...
Yeah, then let's discuss this.
Okay. I'll try to go through it quickly.
So basically the ADA is increasing slightly from the 8,843 to the 8,790. Reductions in staff we talk about already. No new stimulus funding again. And also that we're anticipating that there'll be no reduction in state funding. Again, that's based on the passage of the tax initiative. We do have a reduction in our transportation funding, and our reserve for economic uncertainty stays at 3% for us, and our district as a goal is kind of set $8.3 million is the overall. 3% is around $2 million, but we're going for 8.3. Gives you that economic reserve and about 1 month's operating expense. Now, in 12-13, we've worked very hard in cabinet to try to find ways to reduce costs without touching the classrooms. Kim Alexander has been a real asset in that area, where she's brought forward ideas and actually working on implementing take-backs from the county for special education. And that accounts for a large part of that expenditure reduction. We've also done some other reorganization through the district, which we think will help us with costs and going forward position us properly for those reductions. In 13-14, our actual expenditure reduction from savings, we put in the placeholder. Now, we've talked over several meetings here that we have to reduce costs. We started at $3 million. We're down to about $2.6 million because we're saving money each year. We roll that forward, and that helps us reduce that number. Now, it's a placeholder because the board hasn't decided how we want to do that yet. And we have to project in the interim report 2 years out. So what we've looked at is potential action items, things we've talked about today, increasing the class size, furlough days, shortened school year, reduction in staff, program reductions, as well as changes or reduction in services provided. Now, if we look at it from a financial statement standpoint, we start with the original budget, our second interim projections, which you just approved, and then when we go in our two out years, again, this is based on all of the state revenue coming in and things looking well. It's nice to see the green line, even though that's the contribution to our ending fund balance. And even though it's negative, you see significant reductions. And that's a good sign that we're taking down our cost. And hopefully that will continue to happen. And that helps us meet our goal in 13-14 with a net fund balance of $8.3 million. And as I said, our reserve for economic reserve is the $2.3 million, so we're in a good place. Now, so that kind of the summary, you know, significant reductions in our deficit spending, $1.2 million in 12-13, another $2 million in 13-14. And again, that's the difference between our revenue and our actual expenses year over year. And it helps us reach this goal, which we think will keep us in a strong financial position. Now, again, all that was if the taxes pass and everything stays stable. If it isn't passed by the voters, then we have a potential of a loss that they're estimating at $370 per ADA, or an additional $3.3 million in 12-13, plus an additional $3.4 million in 13-14. So we have almost a $7 million reduction in revenue over those 2 years. Plus, there would be another $65 reduction in ADA for transportation, or about $349,000 for a total loss of $575,000. Now, we only get about $226,000. So with this change in how transportation is moving from a transportation line to into the ADA and redistributed amongst all the districts is actually giving us potential for over double what we were actually getting before. So when we put this back into the financial statements, again, our contribution line there, we were running as a deficit spending between $9 and $7 million, and that would continue. And with that continuing, when we look at our 13-14 projected ending fund balance, it's only $1.5 million. So we're below our required reserves. We wouldn't have cash on hand to handle even 1 month's expenditures. So again, this is kind of worst case revenue-wise with best case expenditure-wise, and we're still kind of in a difficult financial situation here. Again, what Debbie talked about was LACO requiring a board resolution that not acknowledging that these triggers happen. There's going to have to be some type of plan to keep the district in a financial stable area. And definitely, we're losing $7 million in revenue. That's just in addition to the $2.6 million we were going to cut, it's over a $10 million change to us. And that's just, you know, a huge amount. So when we look at what we already have in place to deal with that, in 12-13, we have an MOU in place already talking about adjusting our hours and days as a reopener if we have any financial issues based on furlough days. Now, 13-14 is really where the out year and our problem would lie. And again, it's going back to look at the same items we talked about earlier, the class size reduction, furlough days, school year. And those items need to definitely be negotiated, reduction in staff, programs, and services. Again, our goal has always been to try to keep any type of reduction as far away from the classroom as possible. But if we lose $10 million overall in revenue, this is something that really would be very hard for us to adjust to.
Any questions?
I do.
Mr. Cox?
Okay. Just in general, where are we as a district in relation to other schools, let's say in the San Gabriel Valley or in LA County, with respect to fundamental solvency?
Well, we have been able to go in with very strong projections because we've had a good fund balance. Each time districts report, more and more of them are reporting that they have to be qualified or negative, and that's a growing concern. I don't think any district would be able to just absorb the trigger. So if you look at that, everybody's in hardship. We, as a district, compared to most, and we haven't had to have furlough days. We haven't had massive layoffs, I think, as somebody talked about, sending out the pink slips and then maybe taking them back. So in that way, we're very strong compared to most districts.
Yeah. So this idea that we have to develop a budget based on this idea that this tax is going to pass, and then base our budget on that, I think is absolutely wrong. I don't think we should do that at all. I think that we should anticipate it not passing. I think every other school district in the state should do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
To do so would be a much more conservative approach to it. The likelihood of passage, I don't know. I don't follow it that closely, but I certainly hope that it's highly unlikely that it will pass. And as a result, we'll have to force ourselves to stay within a foundation that provides for a spending based on what we can afford, and not what we dream and hope and pray that may happen. So I don't think that's a good thing to do. Secondly, in both 2013-14, or I guess it's all 13-14, you talk about these expenditure reductions and placeholders and things of that site. And we've all said at one point or another that we wanted to have as little increase, a little impact on the classroom, and that it would have as little and least impact on the education that we provide to the children. If you increase class size, while we're not in China, there is ever apparent evidence and research that shows that increased class sizes does not help children. Furlough days. We passed years ago more school days, more than the minimum required to. In cooperation with the Teachers Association, we passed more school days. We passed longer school days. To take that away seems to me to be less education provided. So you're reducing through furlough days, you're reducing salaries, but at the same time taking away time that the child spends with their teacher. Same thing with shortening the school year, reductions in staffing, reductions in programs, reductions in services provided. Each and every one of those items hurts children. And there is no statement on here that talks about what we really need to do, and that is a broad-based strike across the board, that we've negotiated salaries that are way in excess of what we can afford, and those need to be addressed across the board and reduced across the board. And each of those items would be minimal impact on children and keep us spending within our current ability to fund. And then this idea that LA requires, Mike addressed this too, is this resolution. I mean, requires to what way? Are we not going to be certified? Are we not going to be done? I don't see that. And it's certainly not going to adopt this resolution.
That's my question. This is silly.
It's not written well.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Back
with red marks and grade it. And send it back and see if they want our version.
To answer to the first question, what happens if we don't do it with LACO? My understanding is they do have the power to not accept our interim report and to change, you know, our status from, you know, to negative or qualified and take
some type
of action.
And they can do that in great conscience when you said that we are of the best, one of the best performing and best financially positioned school districts in LA County, and yet that's the thing that they're going to hold against us and say, tisk, 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 you're bad, when three quarters of the rest of them are all flat out bankrupt because of their failure to do what they're doing, and that's what they're having to do.
Yeah, I'm not here standing up for what LACO has.
I'm not using you. No, Don, you don't. No, I understand
as
that.
As being very conservative, I would prefer to build a budget that's realistic so we know what we're doing and we can plan for the future as my personal. But even the school districts where we're trying to get some of that flexibility, and I believe LACO was originally going that way, there's legislation that changed that requires us to budget based on the governor's budget, mm-hmm. not realistic. So, unfortunately, our hands are tied. I appreciate your frustrations and the input and across the board salary reductions we definitely have on the list. We can take it back to cabinet to talk about.
Mr. Spence?
I don't think there's been one budget that we approved assumptions where the assumptions were accurate.
Right.
The time came. And, you know, that's why I'm having trouble with, you know, when we start talking about Governor Brown's tax initiative. There's, you know, CTA has their own. There's Molly Munger's out there. Why don't we just budget off of that one? That's $1,500 ADA, assuming they can still find people in California that can pay the tax, because I think they'll get out. But, obviously he's trying to find reasons for people to vote for the tax. But even if the tax passes, it doesn't mean we're going to get the money that we think we're going to get. And if it fails, I have a hard time believing, and in fact, they haven't even approved, you know, the budget for the year that covers this yet, that says there's going to be the trigger cuts. That's just his proposal. You know, the legislature hasn't acted on it. And so, you know, we're building a budget, assuming there's going to be trigger cuts and all these things in the budget, and it hasn't been approved or even debated.
We're building a budget assuming that there's not going to be trigger cuts instead of assuming that they are.
No, but we're even assuming that trigger cuts will be part of whatever budget comes out of the legislature. And we don't know. They haven't started debating it yet, you know. Right now they're just doing, well, I shouldn't say anything. I should keep that a little quiet. But, so I think that's the frustration I'm having with saying, okay, we're going to do this in this manner. I don't have a problem, you know, we've approved budgets that don't end up, like I said, not one of them, the assumptions have ever matched, because the state always changes what they end up doing. The assumptions are wrong, and then we deal with it.
Can I just respond to your frustrations, because we equally feel your frustrations?
Well, I have more, so you want to wait till the end, or you want me to do it all at once?
I just do it now because we both talked about something. Yeah. I just want to explain. When I told you we've had budget meetings from October. We've been going over this, and when you look at that list, all of those things, I agree with you, Mr. Cox, have tremendous impact to the classroom. So the question is, if we're building a budget for triggers, we would have to look at one, any, or other options in terms of that would impact our classrooms next year when we feel that right now we don't need to do that. Next year is another story. So my concern is to build a budget build a budget around the trigger, it means we are making some decisions that are going to impact the education of our kids, and if the trigger doesn't happen, we've made some pretty severe decisions. So,
well, doesn't that resolution say contingency plan?
Well, I think our, if you look at our contingency plan, if you look at number at the second page, with the without the tax initiative, if you look at where we'd be,
allegedly,
closest to our understanding, we would at the end of 12-13 still have a 3% reserve.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't do a furlough, if we didn't do
mm-hmm.
anything,
right.
we still would have a 3% reserve. It's not our goal. Our goal is to have much more than that, but it would be hard for me knowing that to make some decisions right now that would impact the educational programs of our students. But if that's what the board would like us to do, please, you know, we certainly are in your direction.
Mr. Spence?
You know, and the other thing is I agree with Mr. Cox, you know, and Ms. Patson mentioned that, you know, to keep cuts away from the classroom. You know, and the last time we laid off classified personnel, they were all at school sites, you know, when the board voted to do that. You know, I objected to it, but, you know, they were all at school sites, every one of them. You know, we even took 2 hours away from media clerks, you know, and somehow that was going to be a great saving, and we restored that. But, you know, I think what staff should do, and then at some point the board, is we're going to have to prioritize, you know, what are the most important things if we actually have to do those kind of cuts. You know, I think that's the debate that we haven't had. What is the priority? Is it the instructional days? You know, is it, you know, the salaries? You know, what is the priority that impacts, you know, the least? And I think that's what we haven't had.
I agree.
We haven't had that. And I think we have to have that if we're talking about a contingency plan, assuming that a budget that's approved by the state will assume this was passed, and it doesn't pass, and then there's some kind of magical triggers that happen, and then that comes down to us in the mid. So, which is really 5-6 different things that all have to happen like clockwork in order for this to take place. And it won't. It won't. It never has.
So is your recommendation that we bring that up for discussion at our next meeting, that we have a special meeting? What would be the recommendation of the board?
Well, I think staff has to put numbers on some of those things, too.
We have numbers.
Yeah, and you know, have the principals looked at it? Have they looked at what they think is the most important thing when it comes to instruction? You know, I think that's
the next step.
Mm-hmm. Tommy, that's the only other place where I'm kind of coming from on this, is that we're going to have to prioritize a little bit.
Question is, you want to do it now in anticipation of the trigger? Or do you want to rely on this, and that would be the discussion all next year?
There's not even a trigger that's been passed.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I think we need to have these discussions. In my mind, we'd be having these discussions when we're talking about the 2014 budget.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when these discussions, all next year, these discussions are going
right,
to go on in preparation for the
2014
budget.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the last thing is growth. You know, we've talked about, you know, trying to add students, and we opened up the enrollment stuff. You know, Community Valley mailed me twice. I mean, trying to get, I don't know what they were doing, because it was a horrible postcard that didn't have, you know, didn't make it clear what you do if you like the picture on it or whatever. But, you know, I don't know if there's other ways that we can increase the numbers of students rather than just assume that we have this flat model where we have to take WACS at stuff. You know, are there things that we could do marketing-wise that, you know, how many people know we were a district of choice this year? You know, what can we do to try to bring in students that want to be educated here that also then, of course, that translates into revenue? And, you know, we just started finally doing that. So I think, you know, that's another thing that we have to focus on.
Is it too late to have, I know that we had the deadline that they had to sign up, but I've had several parents ask me about it because they weren't aware of it. Could they still come in some way?
Well, I think legally we can't open up open enrollment, but we still are accepting permits, as we always have.
Okay, so that we just...
Absolutely. I actually got a phone call from a parent. I said, please come in.
Okay. So we're still using the same...
Absolutely.
Information we had asked for, well, Mr. Spence had asked for before, was the capacity at our individual schools and where we are. I know some of our schools are full, but we never did receive, for example, Edgewood, which does have some room, where we are in terms of students that we can accept and room we have. I think that's important.
As long as they don't want to reconfigure.
In terms of triggers, I think we need to start looking now. I don't think we can wait until we're doing 13-14 and we are at our baseline of money that we want on hand to really start talking about deep cuts. I don't know that we necessarily need to anticipate as deep as they're saying right now with the triggers, but I think we need to get at least halfway towards what they're saying. Ms. Polis?
This is a question.
Go ahead.
At this point, since we've adopted the calendars, I know we're still in negotiations. I don't know how much more we could do for next coming school year. Are all of those what options do we have for next school year? All the options that we had on this last page?
Oh, no, because the March 15 deadline, everybody and staff know.
So we can't do, we can't increase class size.
We can't do teacher layoffs.
And then
anything that would be a teacher layoff, we can't do. If the savings is through a teacher layoff, we wouldn't be able to do it.
But if you're talking capacity and we wanted to
shorten
increase
school
class
year.
Size and bring in more students than we currently hold in a class, as long as it's okay with the fire department type thing, our size is adequate, you could, but that would
only
be one. You know.
That wasn't what I was talking about. You know, when I went to Edgewood,
still
as a middle school, it was 1,800 students.
Yeah, it's our third largest school.
I know there's not 1,800 students there now.
Right.
So I'm not talking about, you know, China, 81 students in an English class the size of this. I am talking about
utilizing
what we have now.
Yeah, you know, are there 15 at one of the other schools? Are there, and Edgewood is underutilized, it has to be. I mean, because just the numbers of kids, it has to be underutilized.
So information you want to know, the capacity of the schools, you'd like to get number value on the list that we had up there.
Priorities.
So the priorities, I think, have to
we
come,
have
from,
to come from us.
Yeah, well, I want to hear the staff input on what they think.
Well, priorities differ based on cost, too.
Mm-hmm. But even though we approved a calendar, we can still wipe off days off the calendar as long as we meet the state minimums.
So it has to be negotiated.
Yeah. Well, maybe we shouldn't conclude negotiations.
So again, I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing that you do want to start this conversation now. My question is, do you want to do this at a regular board meeting? Do you want to have a special meeting to talk just about budget and priorities? Do you want, you know, what is the direction the board has for the meeting in terms of the next steps?
How soon can you have the information to us that we need from the schools in the district in terms of their priorities and what, where they could see cuts least impacting students? I think that is the first step, because we will need that information to the individual board members may have in their own minds their do not cross list at this point, but that could change based on what school sites say.
Well, the first step that we did in terms of developing this budget was we had lists, and everything that was on the list that didn't impact students, we did already.
Mm-hmm.
So the only things that are left are the things that do impact students. So we already took everything that we felt did not, and there may be more, but for what we could do this year, we took everything that we felt did not impact students, and that's on the 2012-13 budget.
And I think we need to, the impact students, where it ranks in terms of the schools.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's necessarily going to be the same across all schools. And so, depending on when that information gets to us is when we decide when we discuss it.
And I noticed transportation wasn't on there.
was on there for next year, not for the year. The year after, that's one of the things for discussion. That's definitely, yes. When we talk about services, transportation falls under that.
Okay. Just so a clarification. It says a reduction in programs, and then there's reduction in services provided.
In my mind, when I talk about services provided, it's like transportation. It's certain services that are provided to individual students. When I think of programs, I think of a music program, an art program.
Okay.
I think of a program that's provided to a large group of students.
I'm just trying to, because I can think of a lot of services off the top of my head that are provided to students. A lot of them are because they're special education students, and you couldn't not provide
Absolutely.
Those. So I'm trying to think of services that...
Well, transportation is an excellent example.
Right.
When they did this study and they look at who are we servicing, you know, we're servicing people that maybe we don't really need to be servicing with those bus stops. Where we do different things, like those type of items. So, again, what facility...
We give free meals to people who should get reduced meals prices.
I'm sorry?
Right? We combine reduced and free together. Those that... How do we do that?
We combine the numbers, but they
separate.
Right. They're separate in terms of people get reduced and people get free. Not everybody
gets free. But across the board with the food, we do an across the board thing because it's easier accounting.
Is that true?
I'm sorry, I can't hear it. Something about free and reduced when we're combining it?
I mean, no, the amount's all reduced for everybody. For everybody.
Same for everybody, free and reduced. There's two different categories, correct?
No, it's
I'm sorry, Mr. Spence.
Go ahead.
You know, when it's free, that they're not paying, and it's a full reimbursement, we actually get reimbursed more than what we charge our other students for.
Right.
When it's reduced, it's a different value, of course, so they're paying something towards that, and that's based on their income and, you know, guidelines, and then we're reimbursed that difference. I'm not sure if I understand.
No, but I mean, but our food cost, I mean, that we charge everybody, we have the one price.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we charge the people that pay
mm-hmm.
is a lower amount than we're actually reimbursed
mm-hmm.
by those programs.
Yes.
By over a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's requiring that price eventually get adjusted. So I think we have to go up a couple pennies every year, maybe up to a nickel is required. But, you know, not a huge increase. At the same token, we're not running in the negative, the nutrition services
right.
program. So I don't want anybody to walk away
charging.
I mean,
there's all kinds of services.
Sure.
I'm trying to come up with services answer.
Well, when I look at services, too, what services does the district provide to the sites at what, you know, response level? So that's usually like a call center or something. So you want to reduce cost, reduce staff, but the response is different. Same thing. You know, what are we providing? What level of service? What are we modernizing? What are we doing?
We could take a
those
couple
type
years
of services.
To repair a bus.
So would you consider that gardening or, you know, janitorial?
Things like in our classroom. So like you could say... Let's say gardening. If we decided we're going to cut the grass every, you know, week and a half instead of once a week, then you can look at the staffing and what's need to do that. You know, it's, again, whatever services are provided that are non-educational, what are we doing and how are we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be a reduction or a change. Again, what are we doing in-house that maybe is cheaper in a different way? You know, what are we doing outside that we could take in and make cheaper, too? It goes the other direction.
We could repair buses every 2-3 years. That's one way.
Well, we found that, you know, we can be very economical. We actually have a gentleman coming twice a week to maintain everything.
Any other questions? Are you clear on the next step, Ms. Kaplan?
Yes, I am. I'm not sure what the timeline is. I need some time to think about.
That's fine.
So okay. Can I just be clear, it's okay to submit our interim report like this, but without the resolution?
If you give me 2 seconds, I will ask if anybody will move to approve the second interim report with positive certification without the resolution.
I'll do that.
Is there a second?
Were we possibly going to change those numbers? And what's the latest we could send this in?
It's due March 15th.
Oh.
Now we can be late in sending it in if you'd like. What we try to do is make sure we're updating everything for the budget revisions that are coming through. And we try to do this when we have the most current information. And like Mr. Spence says, things keep changing, so the further out we do it, the more difficult it is.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay. Is there any further Board of Education discussion?
Well, I did want to point out, but I don't know if people remember Bobby Banderas passed away, and she was an administrator in our school district and in a neighboring, some neighboring school districts after that. And so if we could adjourn her on it.
Any further discussion?
Just on the dates to remember, the San Jose open house starts at 5 o'clock, not 6 o'clock.
Okay. I have one other thing. I had requested with Ms. Kaplan, and I just wanted to let the rest of the board know. There has been a lot of discussion out in the community and from the city of West Covina about what their role is in our schools and what services they provide and what the school district is or isn't doing for the city. Part of that was in our packet, but what I had really asked for and would like to see is basically an audit of everything between the city and West Covina Unified in terms of what sites are used, how often they're used, what we receive as compensation for their use, what our agreements are in terms of their responsibility for things like the lights at West Covina High for every single site and where we stand when it comes to those agreements. And this does not need to be put on the agenda for an action item. It could just be an information report that comes in our board packet. I would prefer to get it as soon as possible, but I'm not expecting it at all tomorrow. Exactly.
What exactly do you mean by an audit of that?
Basically, pull out our contracts.
Like, are they paying for the lights over at the school?
Exactly. What their responsibilities are at the pool and things like that for every single site that they use.
So let me understand what you need and maybe Ms. Bassett needs any clarification. So you want us to pull the contracts of what we've agreed to and make sure that we are in compliance in terms of what we agreed to at every facility.
Correct, and just what facilities are being used by the city for what city programs.
Is there some reason why you don't believe that we are, or that we're not complying with the contracts or they aren't complying with the contracts?
No, but a lot of discussion has happened recently with the fact that the city does not believe that the school district is being fair to different community organizations. As you saw packet, the city demanded a meeting with our staff to go over issues raised by the community. So I think it's important when the community is asking us why we're not providing facilities and they're being told by the city because we don't want to let them, that we have a good understanding of what the relationship between the city of West Covina and West Covina Unified is. It's not is the school district doing something wrong? I would just like to know where we are interacting with the city.
Are you most interested in Civic Center utilization of facilities?
Both.
Civic Center Act utilization mm-hmm. facilities? Or are you most interested in, say, for instance, like Mike suggested, the sharing of the costs at the swimming pool, the sharing the costs lights at the high school, that sort of thing, or the track over here, is that because those are contracts and we have agreements and you know I'm sure that I presume that both sides are adhering to those contractual agreements. Just a matter of are they able to use our facilities in accordance with the Civic Center Act, that's a fairly simple routine thing to do. The other could be rather extenuating, and I quite honestly don't see the purpose of it.
It is actually for both, and it's information that I think we as board members should know and be aware of. We have found in the past where we thought contracts were renegotiated that, the rent charge for a site had gone up per square foot, and then we found that that wasn't implemented. So I just think that this is an opportune time as we are looking at budget cuts and how our facilities are being used to find out, you know, what interaction there is with the city, where we can work better with them in terms of soccer fields and baseball fields and everything else.
But that civic center stuff, how much time do we expect it, or how much, just out of what she's asked for, how much time do you anticipate that this will take? Maybe I'm out of line, but...
Well, just for clarity, the contracts directly with the city, like you said, the lights, the pool, those type of items, the rentals, we use the city when they have child care, those type of things, those are pretty direct to pull what those contracts are. Mm-hmm. We can go through Frisco Services and let you and verify that either we paid our share or they reimbursed us our share with those, and so we can probably get that back to you. I know you want things on Wednesdays. Today's a Tuesday, so it wouldn't be ready by this Wednesday, but I'm sure if
and
we allow us to
problem.
Do on Friday, we would be very close to try to doing that. What we gave you in the update, because the community had a concern, what sports leagues, how are we using our facilities, we wanted to show you the inventory, the permits for use we had out there with the various organizations and break that up between sports leagues and non-sports leagues. We can update that and give that to you again, but that's not a contract with the city. And what we try to do is work collaboratively.
But you've already done that. That you've already done. We already have
right.
that information.
It changes on a daily basis. We can continue to update that
it
if you
It changes how significantly on a daily basis.
Well,
I mean, I don't care if somebody uses it for an hour for a quinceañera or something like that, or a,
well, we
you know,
just
I'm that's absurd.
Everything.
They don't do
so
that.
I think
but
we probably have.
I mean, for daycare or somebody's going to use it for, you know, an hour or two here. Which I think the major concern that she's expressing is this, you know, significant blocks of time for significant, and that we got, right? So the I don't see what it is that we're getting, and I'm hearing this. You know, I mean, we're talking staff time. We're talking. One person, how many hours? 20 hours? 40 hours?
To verify if the pulling, we'll go back and pull the financials, and that is going to be significant time. We'd probably be at least a day or two, you know, constant time and multiple people doing, because we want to make sure all the dollars are and do that reconciliation. This is the contract. We can pull it for the current fiscal year and past fiscal year, so you feel comfortable that that's being continuous. On the permits for use, they don't pay anything. And it's with individuals. So if that's what the board chooses to do, we're trying to update that on a regular basis. Since we gave you update Friday, we probably have 4 to 6 new permits that have come through already. So, again, they're there. So if it's significant to you, again, there's no financial impact to the district. And I actually spoken to Art, and he says he's now happy and we've met all of his needs. So if that's a particular concern, maybe I can... You know, I get some type of email from him, but we're not aware of any sports leagues problems. And in fact, our meeting with the city was very, you know, congenial, and it was great because now they expressed a desire to partner with us on the CNG to get grants because they needed to have a partner to do that. So it opened up new communication and a more direct line. When we attend the sports league council, we're a guest of theirs. It's for their sports leagues, and, you know, we're just there to try to answer questions if they have any, if they don't. And those meetings tend to be on board days, so I can't attend directly. We have somebody that's dedicated to that. But I think that the meeting was productive. Everybody felt better about it. I think it helped the soccer team understand things as well, that we're supporting them and we've moved forward. And that was the, you know, the reason we sent you that update as well, to make sure if you don't feel we're supporting any other group or if you've heard of a group that isn't getting through, that we can possibly help them. But on a financial basis, you know, it's definitely would take us to Friday just to be sure we've counted for everything, and hopefully it's easy enough to pull. Our financial system's not easy to do, but pulling the contracts and going back and verifying things. I don't think we have a whole lot of contracts with the city.
Are we concerned whether or not that we're getting sufficient income and that our contracts need to be renegotiated with respect to, you know, for instance, Edgewood or the high school in that? I mean, if that's the case, why weren't they brought to us and you know, for renegotiation? I don't know how often they're renegotiated, but, you know. I mean, the fact is we're here to educate kids, and as long as we're accomplishing that, I don't have any reason why we need to, you know, do anything other for the city and their benefit, except to the extent that we have to by the Civic Center Act.
Well, this, one, would not be for the benefit of the city, and two, when we're talking about cuts left and right you know, maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't just be focusing on the city of West Covina, which at this point in time is an issue with our community and how they're utilizing our sites and what reimbursement the school district gets and that the contracts are equitable. Maybe it's time to start looking at all of our contracts, because we have had several times over the past several years where we found that contracts were not being followed. So if you would prefer, Mr. Cox, we can go ahead and ask staff to pull every contract we have and make sure that we are following our side and they are following theirs. But in this case, again, we have community members who are concerned with how the city is using our sites. And
exactly
in terms of, I've made very clear what I'm looking for.
No,
I want to know,
not to me,
what sites the city of West Covina uses for what programs, how often, what our agreements with them say regarding lights at West Covina High, the pool at Edgewood. If
so, you're not asking about Civic Center things, because the city of West Covina doesn't utilize our facilities for Civic Center Act issues, right?
I would assume they pull a permit for things like 4th of July.
So a day. I thought you were talking substantive stuff. If it's just a day,
then that's an easy question. I can't quantify how much time it will take, because for that exact reason, I want to know what agreements we have with them. If they are fulfilling their side, if we are fulfilling our side, what we can better do based on the findings to ensure that we don't have the city of West Covina saying, you know, we're cutting off access for the youth sports leagues when they haven't contacted us to find out, hey, we need to use it here. So I want a better understanding of what they're using our facilities for, what they reimburse us for, and what agreements we have with them. It's
Shouldn't
really
this be done
simple.
With the city school district committee?
I would have thought so.
Well, you know, I would love to do it with the city school board committee, because you're exactly right. These questions could be answered there, but it meets approximately once every 3 years. There's been 3 meetings in the 6 years I've been on the board. So
then I think that maybe
that may be the problem, and that should, I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, we have staff that's limited service, limited time, limited availability, and, you know,
it's out of our control, though, if the city council cancels those meetings, then Ms. Shoemaker's questions aren't going to be answered at a meeting that's non-existent, that continues to be canceled. So, and I do, just today, we had a question, Debbie and I, about the fields for soccer league. Now I'm hearing it's completely resolved. The community has not heard that. If we could just have an outline that you gave us, that we could just give to people. Here it is. Not only have we resolved it with the soccer field, but these are all of the other uses for our city. And then also the YMCA and YASIS. I didn't see them on the list.
YASIS, though, they contract for space and hold it differently. It's not a permit for use.
Okay.
So that listing was permit for use only. If you'd like, we can distribute that listing monthly, because we maintain it anyways. I made sure it was updated, we can continue to maintain that and distribute it once a month, so you do have something to show somebody. And whenever you have questions, there's a single point of contact that keeps that.
Maybe it would be simply better to have the city provide us this information.
Well, one thing I noticed is in our agreement regarding the Youth Sports Council, it requires a certain number of the participants in activities on our campus actually be from our school district. And I don't know if anybody is paying attention to the compliance with that.
That's not a requirement for our permits for use. That was with the city, and I'm not sure what you've got, because I didn't provide that.
It was in agreement came in our board packet a couple of weeks ago regarding the Youth Sports Council.
But I
and
did is
when we were told that we weren't a voting member.
Okay, that's what the sports council requirement is for their leagues and forming their council. And again, has no requirements on us or anything to do with the school district. That's having being part of their West Covina Sports Council membership, not us.
Okay.
So I think there is a lot of confusion and overlapping, you know, that hopefully we can get resolved.
Why don't we just start with, let's take baby steps right now. Let's start with pulling the contracts that we do have and getting that information to you, and then from that place, see what other information you need. Let's start with that.
I basically only need what school sites are being used for what activities with the city and what our agreements are with them. It really should not be that difficult.
We will start with that, and we will keep you updated.
Well, the city has them, too. Right?
What I'd like to say is we will look into it, get as much information as we can. I can't promise you how quickly we'll do it, as quickly as we can.
And I'm not asking for it to become a priority.
Okay.
You know, I understand we have the budget and everything else going on. It's just some information that I would like when you have the opportunity. You know, it's not budget presentations and questions that never actually make it to our agenda, you know.
Yeah, and I apologize. I wasn't aware of this request. We just wanted to give you information about the others.
It's not a problem. I needed to put it in writing or bring it to the board table. I just decided to bring it to the board table.
No problem. We'll work on it for you.
Okay, and then with that, is there any further discussion? Okay, dates to remember: March 19th, West Cove Open House; March 20th, California Open House; March 21st, Walnut Grove Open House; March 22nd, Merlinda Open House; March 26th, Merced Open House; March 27th, Board of Education Meeting; March 28th, WCHS Open House; March 29th, San Jose Charter Academy. There being no further business, this meeting is adjourned at, I can't see the clock, 9:16.
In Bobby Banderas'
name.